Hello and welcome to episode 3 of EAFC Pro for Chemistry, the show where the game is just the beginning as we discuss all the elements that bind us together in this incredible FC community. My name is Frankie Ward and I'm joined by FG for episode 3 because we're on a roll, FG.
Thank you, Frankie.
I'm excited to get into the pros, but I want to talk about what you've been up to. What SBCs have you been doing? How's the weekend league going?
Yeah, the weekend league. Well, we'll talk about that another time. But oh gosh, we will talk about the good SBCs that have come on to FC24 because we got showdowns. Showdown SBCs are incredible because they're based on real life fixtures and you do the SBC of the player that you predict will get an upgrade and I can't pick most of them, so I just do all of them.
Do you get really like tense when you're watching the games going, come on, come on, come on?
I was watching the game at the weekend involving Man City and Liverpool knowing that I'd done the Akanji showdown. And my thought at full time was, oh, my Kanji's only going to get a plus one because it was a draw. So, I mean, well done here. We've also had Fantasy FC as well, another live promo. We saw Timo Werner score at the weekend, which every single person in the FC community was happy about because he will get an upgrade as well from that. So, yeah, I mean, live items, so fun.
We have got a packed show today because we've got to talk all about the EMLS Cup FG. I can't wait to discuss some of the insane goals from the final.
The insane goals, the insane shocks. There was so much that went on.
Yeah, favourites went down before even the finals.
Honestly, if you're a fan of the EMLS Cup, make sure you tune into this episode. We've also got a special guest waiting in the wings.
We do. Should we actually get to her, FG? Hello. Howdy, I should say, because you're in Texas. Casey, thank you for joining us so early in the morning. It's like 8 a.m. where you are?
It is. It is currently 8 a.m. and the clock's just changed. And so we are only 5 hours difference from you guys right now.
She's also got a brand new background. Once again, I think you're the only person who changes your background every single time you put a camera on.
Yes, this is currently a hotel background in Austin, Texas, but I'll eventually be back at my setup. But yeah, currently in a hotel.
You're so jet set. I love it. Tell us, how are you enjoying South by Southwest? Because that's where the EMLS Cup was, probably the coolest location on the FC Pro circuit.
Honestly, being in Austin is so much fun, especially because I'm coming from Chicago as well. So the weather's been beautiful. The people are so much fun and they're very much invested in this event that took place over the weekend. So yeah, EMLS Cup happened the last 3 years in Austin. So we've had a lot of fun the past 3 years, and especially this year because, man, the gameplay was so much fun. I know we'll get all into that, but yeah, South by Southwest has been a blast so far.
They do say keep Austin weird. Have you seen anything weird?
So I went to the Austin FC game against St. Louis, and I will say...
And that was weird.
I was just about to say, was that the weird bit?
So, like, you compare the supporter section, and they're just, like, they have a different vibe. Like, they have trombones and trumpets with LEDs and like it's really, really fun, but it is a bit like weird and it's just different from anything that I've ever like seen before, but it was so much fun.
Austin FC has a balmy army.
That's exactly what it sounded like, didn't it? What was the atmosphere like?
Well, they sell out every game, first of all. So it's like 20,000 people in the stadium, but their supporter section, they're all standing. They literally throw bottles of water in the air like every 20 minutes. It's crazy. You guys have to experience it at some point.
I have to book my ticket clearly to an Austin FC match. The FC Pro Leagues are officially underway and our first grand finals has concluded. Gianfonso took home the EMLS Cup last weekend and what a performance. I mean, we will get to the finals, but it was a masterclass. I can't wait to see him in the World Championships, FG.
Yeah, what an event anyway. It did not disappoint. Obviously, Case, you were lucky enough to be there and experience it. But from an outsider's point of view, there were shocks, there were great goals, there was skill, there was pretty much everything you want from esports.
And there were trombones. And now Case has explained why, because that's an Austin FC thing.
Yes, exactly.
You were our eyes and ears on the ground this weekend. So Casey, give us some insight. What was it like?
The way that the format works a little bit is on Friday, we had the last chance qualifier. So there were 6 guys already qualified for the championship Sunday, but the rest of the people were battling it out in the last chance qualifier, which then by the end of that day, by the end of Friday, we had the last 6. So that means that 12 people were competing on Sunday. And honestly, there were some big upsets that I was not anticipating, even in the last chance qualifier. We didn't see Diddy Chris Lido in championship Sunday. And so that was a big surprise for me. But even Sunday, there were some massive, massive upsets. We saw Lamps go down in the quarterfinal, Paulo Neto go down as well. And so I really, really did enjoy it. And that final was super entertaining as well. But no, Jofonso absolutely smashed the entire weekend. And the fact that he won that final 6-0 as well, insane.
Absolutely insane. Let's speak about insane, actually, shall we, Frankie? And maybe not so insane. Your predictions, Casey. You made a few predictions on the broadcast. How did they go for you?
I predicted two matches. I predicted Paulo Neto versus K1 John. And like, the average person would never predict against a previous champion. Paulo Neto has won 4 previous trophies with EMLS. So like, I wasn't going to go against him. Unfortunately, K1 John did come out the victor there. We also had Diogo versus NR7. And previously in LS2, Diogo won 3-2. So I wasn't going to go against a previous result as well. And so I was wrong. And I admit it. And I'm not proud of it. But I will say, I did my own predictions for all the previous rounds. And I got every single match right.
You're only as good as your last rounds.
And the only one that I was on broadcast. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Did you get more predictions right than Mike LaBelle? That's all I want to know.
Not on broadcast, but on the side, yes.
That's what
matters. Does it even count if it wasn't on broadcast?
Yes, Probably it does not count.
No, you can't say that.
It totally counts. No, because Mike was literally at that desk the entire weekend.
Yeah, Mike knows his stuff, though. Mike knows.
So does Casey. Well, Casey
does, but she got it wrong twice. And you know what? You know, I love to laugh at you for it, but I would have predicted exactly the same as Case, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, K1 John's just a mental... We'll come to that in a bit, right?
We will, because we've got to talk about the draft restrictions that were in place. When I saw these, I thought that maybe the EMLS Cup draft restrictions were quite light, or quite generous, shall we say. But FG, you totally disagree with me.
Why are you nodding, Casey?
Tell us what they are.
I completely disagree, right? 4 active MLS players on the field, okay, at the start, which is tough in itself. Obviously, you've got Messi. Everyone uses Team of the Year Messi.
1 shade, 2, they're free.
But listen, then you have the minimum 1 MLS icon or hero, which is all right.
Free. Yeah,
it's not bad. And then you get a 13 million coin budget. If you've got a goalkeeper, like a lot of the pros in their drafts use the goalkeeper, right? And you're trying to tell me it's easy to use. Is he like 84, 83 rated colonial? You're saying that's easy in competitive esports to use that? No. I mean, big respect to the MLS, but the depth is a lot better in other leagues. Like, if you look at the E-Prem coming up and you look at even the CONMEBOL, there's a lot of better players you can use. I'm not convinced. I expect my team to be high rated when I use it so I can win. That's how I'd probably always beat Casey, but she keeps ducking from me. Case, these restrictions are not easy, are they?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think that they're that difficult because you can work with a lot of different options. Plus, you have Team of the Year Messi, which is not that bad. They're honestly decent MLS options here. Plus, you can still use Haaland, Ginola, Henry. So there's a lot of options.
I know, but when you're looking at the current FC24 market and you're looking at the high-end players, the market's quite substantially, like the price of some of these items, 13 million, it doesn't really touch the sides for me. I want like massive budgets.
But do you think that's why we saw quite a lot of drafts with future stars items? Because they've not gone up in value like exponentially yet.
Yeah, but they're also very, very good items. Like
exactly,
very usable.
Exactly.
Like, so we saw Bissek, the Inter Milan centre back, being used a lot, and he was used because of his pace, his power. And they're actually really, really good alternatives.
So how did most players approach the restrictions? We saw that Jofonso was playing with Van der Sar in goal and was playing incredibly well as well. The movement was incredible.
Van der Sar is that guy on FC24. He is my go-to keeper. Case, I see you smiling. Do you like Van der Sar?
Well, it's interesting because I was actually talking to Jofonso about this. He was very proud of this Van der Sar pick because the majority of the MLS players chose Coronel. And when you're attacking with Haaland, Ginola, Henry against a Coronel versus a Van der Sar, I mean, there's going to be a difference. And at the end of the day, he won the whole thing. So choosing Van der Sar over Coronel might have been the difference maker, you know?
Yeah, a lot of players did use Coronel. I mean, personally, I wouldn't do that.
Who would you use? I feel like
I overanalyze. I don't know if the people listening or watching this podcast can relate, but I overanalyze my goalkeeper. If my goalkeeper doesn't catch the ball, there's an issue. I need a goalkeeper who's very, very good. And using an MLS goalkeeper like low rated like that, in a competitive, it makes me a little bit nervous.
Goalkeepers aside, Casey, who would you have had in your draft?
Ooh, that's... So Haaland is a no-brainer. I think that he needs to be in there, especially because the way in which the game is currently being played, there's a lot of aerial situations. There's a lot of scoring off of corners. So I think that he's a must. In terms of the previous MLS player, I'd probably go Henry. I know that there was a little bit of variety there, but I think the majority of them chose Henry, which I like that option. You know what, though? I will give another shout out to Javonzo's team. He's one of the only players that had Cole Palmer, and I love that. I think that I would have him on mine as well. And then probably Mbappe and Messi, definitely. And Evander as well. He's an MLS player that a lot of players chose as well. So I think those are probably the banker options for who I choose.
I'm with you, you know. I mean, I would probably, obviously, I would pick a proper goalkeeper. I wouldn't use Colonel. But I mean, times have changed in FC now, because last year we were all talking about Kylian Mbappe. And this year we're all talking about Erling Haaland because of his aerial plus, the fact that players are now playing to his strengths and stuff. And it's seeming like it's like a meta to use a big player, a big striker. So Erling Haaland would definitely be straight in my team.
I remember last year when I put Haaland in my very first FC Pro draft, this man wouldn't let me forget it. Mm-hmm. And now he's the big deal.
I mean, his special items are incredible. The playstyle pluses are so important as well.
But the man himself.
He's incredible as well.
Of course he was. It was an amazing final. We should actually talk about the story of the event. Casey, for you, who was the biggest upset of the quarterfinals?
Probably Paulo Neto. I don't think that anyone anticipated K1 John winning that match. I know that K1 John previously made FC Pro Open and he got out in Swiss, which is fantastic. Actually, both of them got out in Swiss, so they both made it there. But I don't know. Paulo Neto is just a different gravy in EMLS. He's actually so good. Whenever he gets on that stage, he is so successful. And so the fact that he was not able to get through K1 John was such a shock.
Yeah, like 4 titles, 5 final appearances in a row. He is serious, like Casey said. But K1 John, oh my, like that, I would never have expected him to get as far as he did. He showed real quality and he's here to stay, I think.
Yeah, he got through to the finals themselves. Like in the semi-final, it was 9-3 versus NR7. Mm-hmm. And NR7, Casey, he was expected to win the entire event.
It's interesting, right? Because he wasn't as successful in the League Series events as he was in the previous year. But when NR7 gets to Austin, Texas, it's like something activates in him and he is so much better of a player. And he was really, really great during this competition. But I don't think anyone anticipated K1 John to compete like he did yesterday, to be honest.
What's his background, though? Why were people underestimating him?
He's very low-key in it. He's consistent, but he's not someone that's like in your face, celebrating everything. Like, he wins quietly and he's very, very proud of himself. And it's funny because when you're sitting at the event, there's oftentimes different players root for different players, but so many of the other players were backing K1 during this competition. And it was really, really fun to see. Like, they're all crowded around the stage rooting for him. Unfortunate for any opponent that he went against, but he definitely had a massive, massive support group here, which was good for him.
Yeah, that's really nice. I was surprised as well at Oli Lito. I expected him to potentially make it to the final as well. I think he lost in the semifinals to Jafonso.
He was looking so good up to that point, though.
The thing is with Oli Lito, we've seen it before in other tournaments as well. He's now obviously in the US, and he's so good at LAN. Like, when there's a live event, he is normally so composed, so, so good. But, I mean, it was strange. I expected him to do... I mean, he still did very, very well, but I was expecting him to make the final.
Casey, what was the mood like when Oli Lito did get knocked out in that semi-final by Jafonso? Because Jafonso gave this great interview to the guys where he was explaining that he and his coach specifically worked to counter Oli Lito, playing his style of attack, but defending everything that Oli Lito wanted to do on his side, offensive side of things. So it must have been quite the shock in the audience.
Yeah, I think that no one expected it to be that much of a blowout, I think. I think that they anticipated there to be a lot more goals, definitely on Alito's side, for it to be a lot closer of a match. I know that Alito was very, very disappointed because at the end of the day, that is the most important match of this entire competition. You might think it might be the final, but they were looking for those world championship spots. And unfortunately, it just wasn't his day. But Alito is one of those players that everyone trains for because they've seen him compete in League Series 1, League Series 2, Masters last year. Like, he has the accolades and they know that they need to prepare for a competitor like him because he's won many, many trophies and he's done really, really well to date. And I know that he probably is not very happy with that semifinal performance.
I mean, there's one thing that you can't take away from it. It's the quality he's got and the longevity he's had an esports, so he'll be back, absolutely.
And I know that there are a lot of players competing in ePremier League who are happy that he won't be back competing against him in a couple of weeks' time, because he is the reigning champion of ePremier League. So I'm hoping we'll see Olilito get back on form soon, because he deserves to be there. He's one of the GOATs, really, of this current era of FC Pro.
Yeah, and he's got personality as well. And I think it's always good when you've got personality as a pro, because you wouldn't expect it most of the times, but he's really good in front of camera and he shows a lot of emotion. And I love the emotion he scores, especially last year at the EPREM when he was scoring. You could hear the emotion from him, and he's a great guy as well. So yeah, he'll be back, absolutely. But I mean, credit to Jafonso and of course K1 John as well.
We should talk more about Jafonso's run, because it was incredible. He was probably regarded as the rookie of the playoffs, I guess, Casey. And he beat NL7, and NL7 had just come off the back of being Gustavo 7-1 and then beating Diogo in extra time. Maybe NL7 was tired, I don't know, but he looked like he had a lot of energy and was riled up on that stage, especially when the goals started going into his end, Casey. So tell me about the shock that was Jafonso just managing to blow the competition away.
Yeah, so I feel like in League Series 1, he did well, but he didn't win it. And then he came to League Series 2, he won the entire thing. So at that point, people are like, all right, he is here in EMLS and he is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I'll be honest, a lot of the players, I think, were scared with him coming in. But I will say, I don't think they anticipated him to do this well and to be this dominant. He was the most confident player up on that stage out of anyone. He was so, so good. And I think that the chemistry he has with his coach as well really worked out for him.
FG, I want to ask you this question as well as Casey. When K1 John and Jafonso made it to the World Championships, it was very emotional for both of them. And it almost felt like they done what they came to do, and then there's just one last hurdle to achieve. Do you think the pressure was almost off Jafonso then?
Yeah, he played freely. Like, we saw him in the final, and he was the only person to get a clean sheet in the whole tournament. I don't know if that, like you said, K1 John had sort of potentially not even exceeded his own expectations. When you get that place and you're in the final and you know how, like, that is massive. Like Casey said, like, the semi-final is the most important game of the tournament, because if you're there, you're one game away from reaching that, and that prolongs, you know, the FC Pro World Championships, like, that is massive for anybody involved in esports, and the names that are already in there are absolutely crazy. We'll come to that soon, but I wouldn't take anything away from what Jafonso did in the final, because that's as dominant as a display as you'll see in esports, let alone a final. But to win 6-0, to get a clean sheet, the first clean sheet, the only clean sheet of the tournament, it's incredible.
Casey, do you think Jafonso enjoyed himself in that final?
I think so. But the final is interesting, right? Because at halftime, the score was 1-0. And the final score was 6-0. And so something clicked at halftime. I'm not quite sure what it was, but he just went on an absolute rampage at that. And I think that once the goals start going, it got into K1 John's head a little bit. But whatever halftime talk he had between him and his coach at halftime, man, I mean, that is a million-dollar halftime talk, I think.
So tell us about the second half then, when the goals started going in. Because as you say, it was 1-0. Basically, the two of these players were defending so successfully. It was just end-to-end for that first half. And then the second half, it seems like maybe something had changed up in the defensive behaviours, I guess, of K1 John's team. Because every single time he lost the ball, his end was just clear and it was just free for Jafonso to take some ridiculous shots.
Yeah, potentially put the press on. I don't know. I mean, but when you're in a position where you're losing the game, you have to score a goal. So, like, I mean, you have to take them risks. It didn't work out for him, but oh my gosh, Jafonso took advantage in some of the goals.
Jafonso can't quite get through, can't quite find that final pass that he's been searching for here, but maybe this could be the one. Here's Davinciola, and our opener for the New England Revolution. It's Jafonso taking a goal lead in the grand final.
At this point, you're so far away from winning. Casey, you know as well, when you go 1-0 up in any game of FC 24, the job is not even half done.
Yeah, not even close, especially with these 9-minute halves. There's so much time left in the match. And so, I don't know, if I'm K1 John, only being down 1-0 at halftime, I'm not worrying too much. I don't know about you guys, but I think he was definitely still in the game at this point, especially at halftime.
If you're like me and you play FC 24 and expect to concede every game, which pretty much everyone did in the tournament, then you know that a goal's not massively, massively important. But like, we're going to see the clip now of of, I think that's the sixth goal we're about to see.
Yeah, let's see the final goal and then we'll have the treat of goal number five. We're holding that one back for a reason. If you've not seen it, you are in for a treat. But let's see goal number six.
Six here to really put the icing on the cake as Erling Haaland's through. And it is going to be absolute magic. Give him that trophy. An unbelievable player here today.
It's just so composed. So composed. And obviously, we spoke about Erling Haaland earlier on in the pod. Case, how good is Erling Haaland's FC24 items?
He's so fantastic. And I love that he actually didn't score from an aerial situation here, because I do feel like we see that most of the time with Haaland. But at the end of the day, he can do anything. He can ball roll it on the keeper. He can finish right in front of the box. And so I do love that we were shown a situation where he didn't score from a header.
Right, wait until you see this one. Oh my gosh, this fifth goal is absolutely, it's box office. This is what you love to see in esports.
By winning the semi-final and getting to this final, so it's not all doom and gloom, but it could be five here. Oh, and he's putting on a show for us as well. It's entertainment at its very finest.
In a final.
That is like, that's a head loss moment, you know? If you can see that goal, that's my head's gone.
Interesting, though. Defonso's quite quiet. They called him humble on the desk during the broadcast. And yet, he does these sneaky little things when he's actually on the pitch. He does all the talking with his players' feet, because that flare shot was absolutely ridiculous.
It's nice sometimes when you're in a winning position on the game to be able to express yourself. Problem is, I'm never in that position where I'm confident enough to do that. Case, I know you're not either, so I don't know how you're right. But like, what a goal. That is what you love to see in esports. That is lovely. I'm calling out anyone else to try and top that, because we've got loads more events coming up, but wow.
Both finalists have qualified for the FC Pro World Championships, joining Emre Yilmaz, Levi David, Fiyech Zin and Vergang. So the tournament is shaping up nicely. I want to see Jafonso try that against Anders Vergang.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, well, if he's 4-0 up against Anders, fair play to him, try what you want, because Anders rarely goes 4-0 down.
That's true. But I want to see it anyway, Casey.
Right, so Case, recently you had a chat with Toe St. Ricketts, the MLS player who made history by becoming the first pro footballer to play in the EMLS. We covered it a little bit last episode, but I wanted to ask you a question. If you could pick any pro footballer from any point in time to compete in the FC Pro Leagues, who would you pick and why?
I think that the best actual footballer is probably Diogo Jota. He's really, really good at the game. So I probably go with him. I know that he competes at like a decent level as well. And whenever Liverpool is not playing, he is playing FC24. And so I'd probably go with him. He'd probably do the best.
What about a player from like the past?
Ooh, past.
I've got one that you should know about as well, because we witnessed it on tour, how good he was when we were in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Jolyon.
Yeah, Jolyon Lescott. He's very good, but he plays, you know, he plays with the D-pad, not the actual stick.
Yeah, it's the maddest thing.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
So let me give you some context and to everyone else who's watching. So when you move your player, he uses the D-pad on the controller to move the player, Jolyon Lescott. But he plays at a real high level. He's super competitive. I'd love to see him try and compete, you know, because, hey, Jolyon, I know you've got a bit of free time now. I know you're thinking about starting to stream. Why don't you try and compete in FC tournaments? We're ready for you.
Does he also use a PlayStation 1 controller?
No, honestly, he literally uses the D-pad to move his players, but he's so good at it.
He is.
I remember being on tour, me and Case, like, there's no way he actually does, but he does. Old school.
We need to get him on one of the broadcasts.
Yeah, I'm not playing against him, Case, you can say that.
No, that's all you. That's all you.
FG's always like, I could beat them, I'll play them, I'm not playing them. Everything to do with this show in FC Pro is about whether FG could beat them or not.
Yeah, the majority of the time I can, but not Jolyon Lescott. We would like to see you compete though, Jolyon Lescott. So this is your call out, mate. Join the FC Pro Leagues. Now what we've got, Case, is we've got a blind rank edition. So I'm going to give you the MLS edition first. I'm going to name you five Ultimate Team players, but I want you to blindly rank them 1 to 5.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Let's start with number one. Let's start with Hani Mukhtar.
Ooh, you know, he just started streaming. He plays so much FC. Side note, but I will put him 3.
3.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, in that case, we'll go Team of the Year icon, Maya Ham.
1?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Foot hero, Landon Donovan.
Oh, man, I feel like there's going to be better options at the end. I feel like you're going to give me something better. Okay, I'm going to go 4. I'm so sorry, Landon Donovan. I'm so sorry.
What about foot hero Clint Dempsey?
See, if you say Messi last, I'm going to be so disappointed. I'm going to go Dempsey number 2.
Oh, what about Team of the Year, Lionel Messi?
I knew this was going to happen. I guess he's number five.
I can't believe you put him number two. All right, well, okay, that's... I mean, yeah, it was not the worst. It's blindly ranking it, but surely you expected Messi to come out.
Yeah,
there.
But also one of the best American footballers to ever touch the pitch. I wasn't about to put him number five.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. But you made your bed. So that was your blindly ranking, but you're not done yet. Let's tease the next FC Pro League final, the Conmebol E-Libertadores. Let's blindly rank these South American items. Let's start with Fantasy FC Luis Diaz.
Let's go... Number four.
Number two, I'll give you Team of the Year, R9.
Oh, I mean, one, yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
There's a lot of South American talent, yes. But okay, all right. Number three, Winter Wildcard Pele.
let's go two. It's going to end bad.
Would you have put him over R9?
No.
Okay, interesting. What about future stars Ronaldinho?
Okay, well, I guess he's going number three.
And that means we have one spot left. Who is it? And that's number five.
Who is it?
She's done it again. Team of Theo Messi.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was my reaction too. We're talking okay. South that's American okay. items and you've left Messi out twice in a
okay,
row.
Okay, well, I've been set up. It's not fair.
It is blindly ranking, but hope you guys played along at home. But yeah, I mean, Casey, thanks for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. You look absolutely fabulous for someone who got up at 6 a.m. after, I hope, partying all night in Austin, Texas.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's all we have time for this episode. If you didn't already know, you can earn viewership rewards by watching select FC Pro Leagues. You can get two players packs and jumbo premium gold packs for tuning into all the broadcasts and a jumbo premium gold players pack for completing the full season. So make sure you don't miss out because it's free stuff and you can't go wrong with free stuff, right, FG?
I won't say no to free packs. Absolutely not. I wanted to remind everybody who's listening or watching the Conmebol E-Libertadores takes place on March the 16th to the 17th. So don't miss it. But if you do miss it, on the next episode of the podcast, we will have a special guest to go through all of the action.
And did you know that the Conmebol E-Libertadores Showdown SBC has been announced? Basically, the winner of a key match next weekend gets an upgraded item.
An upgraded item, that's absolutely unbelievable, by the way. I've got my eyes on that, Sanchez.
I've got my eyes on whatever you've got. You're the expert, FG. Maybe I'll get him over you. I'll get him quicker.
You can maybe try and do the SBC quicker, or maybe I've already done it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, gosh, I should never take this man on. You can catch up on the Full Chemistry podcast on YouTube, Spotify and Apple Music. Thank you so much for watching and thanks also for listening. Now, keep sending in your feedback and let us know what you want us to talk about on the show. And also hit us up on the socials. I've been Frankie Ward. He's been
FG.
And we will see you next time.